Welcome to Hormone Health Podcast. We're Chloe and Georgia, your go-to naturopaths for all things hormones.
Thank you for joining us as we dive into the latest research, chat with top experts, and hear lived experiences from people just like you.
Science, stories, maybe a bit of swearing, but straight up hormone chat.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so welcome back to this week's episode of Hormone Health Podcast. You'll just be hearing from me today. As Georgia said, she had an emergency appointment, which I didn't want to probe with her too much, but then she told me that she had a massage. So emergency for everyone is different, but she can prioritize herself. So today we are joined by Madeline Longrigg, who is the founder of Bodylane, a Brisbane-based clinic specializing in myotherapy, C-section scar release, and pregnancy and postpartum support. You may have come across her Instagram. She provides so much free information, which is such a wealth of knowledge for so many people. Her dedicated work focuses on helping women heal, reconnect, and feel strong in their bodies through hands-on evidence-informed care. Excitingly, Madeline is also the creator of the C-section release method, a hands-on training course that equips practitioners to support people after they've had a cesarean. So I know that there is some prackies here in Newcastle who've done your course, which is really exciting. But welcome to the podcast, Maddie.
Thank you so much, Chloe. It's so good to be here.
So today we're going to be talking all things that you sort of see in clinic with a special emphasis on C-section recovery. But I'd love to kick off this episode asking how you got into this line of work.
Absolutely. So for as long as I can remember, Chloe, I was fascinated by the body. Early on in my career, I started out as a personal trainer who very quickly got stuck into the women's health space from the training aspect. And eventually the myotherapy side of it, the hands-on body work, was really calling me, and I started to study myotherapy with both you and Georgia at uni all those years ago.
I know. Someone said it was like nearly 10 years. I was like, surely not. I'm only 25.
Seriously, same. I'm also only 25 still. So it probably is about 10 years since we very first began. Same with myotherapy. I knew straight away that I wanted to head straight into the women's health space as quickly as I could. And not long after I finished my degree, I went over to the UK to learn abdominal scar release. And then it was born in Australia. And I think what fascinated me straight away from launching this work was how quickly C-section mums came in with the very little marketing that I did for it. And that always interests me more than a shoulder ache and pain or a neck and ache and pain. The women who were recovering from C-section really resonated with the words that I was sharing. And at that time, I didn't even really know how deep the healing that was required after having a C-section birth.
And you mean emotionally as well?
Emotionally, physically, spiritually. And what I've since discovered is just such a deep disconnect from part of your body.
And I feel like the work that you do, you're set apart from, say, you know, other people in terms of you give that holistic support to these women who have undergone, like you've mentioned, such a deep emotionally, physically traumatic experience, trauma coming from actually the scar, not always trauma emotionally, but I'm guessing that's a big component as well for a lot of these women that you see.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, it's not just the emotional trauma, which gets a lot of attention, but it is also the fact that having a surgery that cuts so deep is traumatic to the body.
Completely. And so how did you know that that's an area that you wanted to focus on? Were you previously seeing in your whether that be at uni or in your previous work, women recovering from cesareans, or and what was offered over in the UK. I'm super fascinated by that.
Yeah, so I don't think in the beginning I knew the impact that it would have on the women that I was treating. That was a learnt thing after doing it for a couple of years. And even when I was working in the personal training postnatal rehabilitation space, I don't think I even understood then the impact of a C-section scar wholly. Yeah, so when I suppose the more women that I started to treat, the more I became fascinated in its recovery process. And also, I mean, it matches my personality. I am very like disc type, disc I type personality. And the results.
Someone who would not know what that means. What's an example of those personality traits?
From the top of my head. Oh my God. So,
because I saw in your bio in one of your Instagram posts, you mentioned your like star sign, or, and I guess I can just like categorize because my mum's the same sort of star sign as well. But it'd be interesting to know, like, from your perspective, what those traits are.
Yeah, so very extrovert,
yeah,
very externally motivated is probably the way I would describe
yeah
myself as an I personality.
Mm-hmm.
Very much feed off the energy of people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Very motivated by feedback from clients.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, of course, in my bio, I do say I'm a double fire. So I do have lots of passionate energy in my system and in my makeup, as well as being a generator in mm-hmm. human design, if you're a human designee.
Yeah, well, had a little insight into that. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm nervous to delve too deep in for me personally, but definitely one day I want to look into it.
Yeah, it is really cool, and it gives you just like all those things. It gives you a bit of a deep understanding and a deep knowing of who you are, and sometimes just the compassion that you need to give yourself of knowing who you are.
And so with you were mentioning with the clients that were coming to you that you were seeing, are you sort of saying that maybe it caught you by surprise that they were maybe coming in for a treatment of their scar, but then through working with them, building that rapport, you uncovered a deeper sort of need that they had for emotional support?
Absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, the pattern that I started seeing was this deep disconnect or a deep disassociation to the womb space or just to that lower abdominal space. And it shows physically. So now where I'm at in my career is I can assess a woman's abdomen in standing. And I can now see the disassociation and I can see the disconnect visually as well. If you touch it, it often feels cold. If you look at it, the skin has a different texture. So often it's like a little bit crinkly or a different color as opposed to that smooth tissue complexion. And that's been really interesting. And I think just, you know, a little side note is that I've since also started to see this same pattern in women who have endometriosis or experience heavy, painful bleeds. I also see it in the fertility space, so women who are trying to conceive. And I also see it in chronic pain. So my myofascial syndrome or fibromyalgia all seem to have this disconnect to the abdominal space.
So I'm going to quote one of your Instagram posts that you had, which I thought was really fascinating. But you mentioned the women with the worst period pain also have tight, stagnant, disconnected abdominal tissue. From your perspective, I know you just mentioned some characteristics of that, but when someone comes to see you, you mentioned that you visually look at that and you can already see that disconnect. What are you doing with these clients?
I'm doing so much. So I always assess their breath, and that gives me an understanding of what's happening in their nervous system, what's happening in the way that they regulate their nervous systems. I am then looking at lymphatic flow. So where is the lymph not flowing? Why is the lymph not detoxing? And what's creating some of that stagnant tissue that's not flowing? And then I'm looking at what's happening in the tissue of the entire abdominal wall. So muscular tissue, fascia that's surrounding organs. And then I'm also looking at functionally what's happening. So usually when there is a lot of inflammation in a lower abdomen, it won't connect. And I often sort of describe this as no matter how much Pilates you do, your abs don't work.
Is that from a not activating or unable to activate those areas?
Yeah, so no matter how much ab work they do, they can't get that part of their body to switch on, to connect, to feel that burn that you get in a Pilates ab workout. And it deepens the disconnect.
And from these clients' perspectives, what are they saying to you when they're coming in, or typically in terms of, filling out that form of wanting to come and see you? Would you say that it's more around appearance, or what does that look like? And I guess I'm really asking from our listeners' perspective, how would they know if they're a suitable, say, candidate to come and see you or come to see a my therapist?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the biggest driver for women is appearance. Second to appearance is probably pain or pulling sensations. So in terms of appearance, usually it's because when they look at the scar, they see lumps, bumps, or the notorious C-section shelf. Pain and pulling sensations will often catch them when they're twisting or, say driving and turning to pass their kids something in the back seat. They'll notice a pulling sensation or pain or sharp shooting feelings. But that can come at any moment in the motherhood journey. There's lots of movements that you do. They're probably the biggest two drivers for people to come in. I also do get, though, a lot of people who see me on Instagram and just want to optimize their recovery. Sometimes they don't have anything visually or feeling wise wrong with their scar. They do just want to optimize their body for a follow another pregnancy, or either because they're done having kids and they want to make sure that they're on the right track. They're probably the biggest two. But I also see when there's sensation changes, so numbness, sensitivity. With the sensitivity, often there's hesitation or they're scared to put something over their scar, like it's not nice to pull up your pants. Or if your scar rubs across like a or up against a table or a bed frame and it gives you that sort of sensation to let it know it's there. So I see that.
And I'm
I
not
also
trying to quote your whole Instagram. You're probably going to think I'm a bit stalkerish, but even you mentioned back pain
yeah. Yep.
coming from tightness of that sort of abdominal scar area.
Yep. Yep. And I see that a lot too. Back pain, hip pain, sacrum pain, tailbone pain. And I'll also just include in there epidural site pain. And I always find it interesting when people come to see me and say, I've been dismissed, but I know it's from the epidural. And it is, you can pretty much palpate the lumbar spine right in the center, and there's sensation, and all it is usually is creating a requirement to create safety back in that area.
I think there was
Back in
a
the
video circulating on socials of showing the epidural needle and the actual size of it. And I was like, I don't know if it's better for me to be ignorant at this point or to know that that actually happened to me. But I think it can be quite shocking for a lot of people, or especially in that moment of opting for an epidural or opting, you know, having the next stage of going through a cesarean. It's like, okay, in the moment, yes, but then it's almost like you're dealing with these ramifications after.
Yeah, totally. And to me, it also depends on your emotional state at that time. Being told, like, if you've been laboring for a vaginal delivery and you've been told that you've got to sit still, breathe deeply, is quite terrifying. Like, you get scared that you're going to have a contraction and this needle is going to, whatever, paralyze you, or all the fear-based stuff that comes with an epidural.
Or contracting whilst people are holding you down as well, which is not a, you know, a nice sensation for people to have to deal with.
Totally. So there's often an emotional side of epidural site pain too.
Can you talk a little bit more about that shelf that you were explaining? I'm sure people, if they maybe have had a cesarean, they may know, but what does it look like, and why does it actually happen?
So it does look like a shelf over the scar, or an overhang, or even just sometimes swelling or thickness above the scar. And it's a combination of a few things. It's not one or the other. So whilst there is a component of weight is not the only factor when we're looking at a shelf. It can also, well, primarily it's scar tissue. So it's scar tissue that's created an indent for skin and tissue to hang over. So quite commonly, it's not just where the shelf is. Quite commonly, the adhesion or the scar tissue is sitting below the scar or below the shelf. That's what's restricting it from moving. And then you've got, myofascial tension, adhesions from the scar tissue, and as well as abdominal activation issues. So if you can't sort of get those muscles to work underneath the shelf, then how will you ever be able to rehabilitate it? So that's sort of looking at, like, the diastasis recti abdominal separation point of view.
Two questions for you here with that. You have probably seen so many cesarean scars. Is there a difference in the visualization of whether they be an emergency cesarean or whether they be elected, and what they look like and how they heal? And
Yeah,
can
for
you talk
sure.
on that?
Yeah, so I mean, I will say I've seen amazing emergency C-section scars. But generally, and this is a generalization, an emergency C-section scar does hold more tension in the tissues. And that's because typically the woman has labored for hours, sometimes days, prior to going in for the C-section. So the tissues are tired. There's also a level of dehydration, nutrient depletion, physical and emotional and mental exhaustion from the mother, that goes into an emergency C-section. And then quite commonly, if you're birthing privately, your obstetrician, who you trust, may not be there to do the surgery. So you don't always know the surgeon's skills as you go in for that emergency C-section. On the flip side, you've got your planned C-section generally with your OB. You know their skills, their capabilities. But I have also seen scars from a planned cesarean that are wonky, have lumps, have bumps. So it's not a guarantee that you're going to get this perfect scar from that. And then we look at genetic factors. So, of course, the genetic component of keloiding and hypertrophic scars. And then we also look at what was going on in your body prior to pregnancy. Any inflammatory conditions, so high inflammation can impact the way that you heal from a scar. We've also got just general, like, if you've got chronic illness or chronic disease, that impacts the way that the scar forms and more. That's all I can think of from the top of my head.
And when you sort of like typically feeling a cesarean scar, what should it feel like? Because you mentioned that shelf, it shouldn't be bumpy. It shouldn't be, you know, like you mentioned underneath it, sort of like that lumpy, bumpy sensation.
So it should, I mean, the gold standard where I like or where I want to see all of my scar mamas get to is that you can barely feel that the scar is there. So, of course, we can never get rid of scar tissue, but we can minimize it and we can basically run our hand over it, feel deep, and you can't feel anything underneath it. Is that the reality for every woman that comes through my doors? No. Can I get every single woman there? I will not say I haven't had success in getting every single woman to that stage. But over time, if you're continuously doing the work, it can decrease.
And so it's one of those things that for me personally, I've had a cesarean and I didn't expect to have a cesarean. And then you're almost like you're, you know, in brand new motherhood territory. Then you're also dealing from a huge surgery. And not only are you, like for me as well, breastfeeding, and it's almost like you create this like protective hunch. You're protecting your scar, you're also breastfeeding, and you're scared to sort of straighten up. Again, coming back to your Instagram where you say from a C-section recovery perspective, you know, you're allowed to take the medications, but also posture and breath work, you know, you're opening up. Those things aren't told to people, you know, when you're in recovery from this surgery that, you know, you're told that you've got to get up and start moving, but you're not told, be conscious of your posture, look out for these types of things. I'd love for you to talk us through your ideal sort of C-section recovery points to mums who are either pregnant now, are, you know, booked for a C-section or potentially may have an emergency C-section.
Yeah, absolutely. So firstly, I will say there, Chloe, is that the advice that is often given to mums in the hospital after birthing their baby is to not pick up anything heavier than their baby, monitor for infection, and don't drive a car for 6 weeks.
My drink bottle was nearly heavier than my baby. I had one of those huge big metal things. I was like, oh, I don't know about my wrist, but I was just like, that probably in theory wasn't a very good idea.
That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, the big Stanley mug.
The big Stanley, like full of like electrolytes. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, but very good for you to have lots of water in your postpartum. Yeah, so that information, honestly, it really fuels me because women are not given advice for home care, which is so different to if you went in for an ACL surgery, you're given like a 6 to 12 week recovery protocol to do. You're straight at the physio, you're straight on the bike, whereas a C-section, that's pretty much don't do anything for 6 weeks, monitor for infection, don't lift anything heavier than your baby, and see you later. Bye-bye. Go and fend for yourself. And that advice kills me. It is starting to change, and the more women that I sort of see that have birthed recently, they are getting bits of better advice, which I really love, and I hope that, you know, that's the impact of social media and people doing these therapies. So my advice, as soon as you've given birth, the first thing that you should do is start to reconnect with your breath. And that's because the breath is the only way to mobilize the scar tissue from the inside out. So if you start to breathe and you start to breathe to your pubic bone and your scar, you're already one step ahead in mobilizing the scar tissue. Because you can't touch really the scar or start massaging the scar until it's fully healed, which is around that 6 to 8 week mark. But the most important things from the early stages of recovery are, like you said, hydration, really, really good quality hydration, the best nutrients that you possibly can, bone broths, collagen-rich food, vitamin C-rich foods, very low inflammatory foods. And then we look at the physical side. So, of course, posture is important. And also, I understand, can be very difficult to achieve posture, as you said, out of fear. Also, exhaustion, because who wants to have straight posture when you've breastfed the baby at 10 p.m., 1 a.m., 3 a.m.? By the time you sort of get to the 5 a.m. feed, you're like, my posture's gone to hell. I don't really care. I'm exhausted and I'm in pure survival mode. But the posture side of things comes in, like making sure that you've got something to lean back on. And if you can visualize the scar in its early stages, the more you close down the front of your body, which is like the front line of fascia, the more adhesions the scar has, or the more tissue the scar has to adhere to. So we want to create flow and movement in the tissue to stop the adhesions growing or creating in the body and in the abdomen.
Intuitively, so, it feels like you just don't want to do anything near there.
Of course. And that's a part of the disassociation pattern. And that's like the step one, is it's too scary to stretch it, touch it, acknowledge it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like you said, acknowledge it, that it's actually happened can be a big factor as well. Because, you know, for me personally, I didn't want it. It almost felt like I was jealous of these other mums that could just be totally there with their baby. Yes, they may have dealt with, you know, tearing or other things, but for me, I was like, what? I've had surgery. I have to take, you know, anti-clotting medication. I have to, you know, dress my wound. It's like I felt like that was a really disadvantage, and that can sort of trickle into this, you know, this thought pattern of being like, well, why did I get the short end of the stick here?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important to like validate that and feel that, because that's a real side of C-section births, especially, but not limited to emergency C-sections. I still see women who have had planned C-sections that they resent, that they didn't want for whatever reasons, placenta previa or breech or anything like that. But it is a big part of it. So you're dealing with the emotional side of your C-section and the physical side, which can create, as you said, those resentful patterns, the jealousy patterns, even grief of not having the birth that you wanted to have, and more, so much more than that.
And you mentioned as well, and I think it's so important too, you say in that post, you're allowed to take the medication. Is that from anecdotally you hearing your clients feeling guilty about taking strong pain medication, or why do you make an emphasis of that?
Yeah, so this is my experience. I think I don't know if I mentioned this at the very beginning, but I actually birthed my babies vaginally. I'm not a C-section mama, and I'm often very clear with that in my work. I got into this work before having my children, as I sort of mentioned before. But from my C-section mums, this comes from the second time mums,
mm-hmm.
how they manage their medications so much better. And they take it on a schedule, so they know that they can prevent the pain that's coming up. I think for the first time mums, they either, I mean, I'll say these words, this is not the only reason, the reason why, but, you know, they think that the medication is either harmful to them or their baby. They'd rather just heal from it on their own or let their body heal from it. Whereas the second time mum's like, I know it's painful. I know I need this for my recovery. I know I need this to survive. So they stay on the medication schedule, like whatever, every 4 hours they take their Panadol and every other 4 hours they take the Nurofen. And I've always just found that interesting. What was your experience?
I'm not going to like make a joke of schedule six drugs, but I was quite regimented with my taking of my pain medication. But it got to that point that I think at the 4 week checkup, I got told by a community nurse that my daughter hadn't gained enough weight, if at all any. And I said to Will, my husband, I was like, oh, I just need to go home and take an endone. And I didn't realize at that point that I was potentially using this medication to sort of mask emotional feelings as well. And Will just like laughed at me. And I was like, oh my. And then I was like, ah, just joking. But didn't realize, I was like, oh, I can't take Endone for emotional pain. At that point, I'd stopped taking, pretty much nearly stopped taking the pain medication. But it was so fascinating to me, or so such an insight that, during that time when you're taking this pain medication for physical pain, it can also be a bit of a numbness for, like you were saying, that grief or that processing component.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chloe. And the early stages of motherhood, especially with your first, you don't know really what to expect. And it can be quite, you can be bombarded with uninvited guests where you have to put on a happy face when maybe you're not feeling happy. And you don't really have that time to sit in and process the whole experience. And just like any other emotion, you sort of learn to cope with that through other ways until you deal with the core of it.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
And when you were saying as well, begin gentle touch or touch to that scar, can we talk about when and what does that look like? And when would somebody go and get a professional support for that as well? And what can they do at home?
Absolutely. So my opinion is that if you have birthed by C-section, every mum should have this work done for many reasons. The first is because it's not just the C-section, the pregnancy that's contributing to where your body is at right now. It's been years of womanhood and adulthood, that's gotten you to this point. And as I've mentioned, the work that I teach is well beyond just physical release. It's so much about reconnecting in with your body and creating safety in your body and creating safety in your nervous system. And so I recommend every single mum who's birthed by C-section to have some treatment on it. And that may be one treatment, it may be two treatments, or you may need more than that. Or you may need to keep addressing it as the time goes on, or as things change, or as you go back to the gym or work or anything like that. But usually around the 6 to 8 week mark, when the scar is completely healed, no scabbing, and also when you're feeling emotionally ready to touch it. So maybe in your situation, Chloe, there was a level of resistance or hesitation or fear or ick, just that plain, I don't like it, I don't want to touch it feeling. So I sort of say, like, when you're feeling ready to touch it. But also, with that advice, you don't want to be waiting years before you're ready to touch it. And you can start as little as, if it's very sensitive, you can start by desensitizing it. So that may be just touching it over clothes, or it may be just like rubbing your loofah over it in the shower. That may look like using a cotton wool ball over it to just create the awareness there.
It's almost like
And then
like you say, re-establishing a connection to that area of your body. What does it feel like? All these, they sound basic, but for
Yeah.
somebody who has gone through that, there has been that time where you just avoid that area. And while you're pregnant, you can't really see that area. So you're not used to really seeing your sort of that area, and then your belly sort of going down, and then it's like, oh, hey, there's a scar. Looking how it's changed, how it heals. What does it feel like? Does it have a sensation? Like you said, scabbing, all those sorts of things.
Yeah. And also, I sort of briefly mention the word, but the journey of womanhood, that lower part of our abdomen does hold a lot through our journey of womanhood. Obviously, our periods, the development of our menstruation. For a long time, we were taught that our bodies were a representation of our self-worth, our value in society and things like that. So, like, that area of our body just holds so much more than just a C-section scar or just endometriosis. There's so much more to it, which is what's so special about working in that space. So it's not just desensitizing its scar. It could actually be the first time that you've actually acknowledged that part of your body in a long time, because we just don't touch it. a lot of women don't touch it. So there's that just to consider. But yes, it can be so simple to touch it in that way. And that won't resonate for every single person who has a scar. And if it doesn't, you just skip to step two, which is starting to work the scar through its layers. So I look at the scar as the superficial layer, which is the skin layer, dermis, epidermis layer. And then we look a bit deeper, which is like the fascial connection, sort of a bit of the rectus connection. And then we've got the deep layer, which is deep into the scar, deep into the womb, and deep into the abdominal wall. And I basically just work through those phases. So I start off very light, and then when it's ready and when the scar allows it, I would start to work deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, until we hit a desired result, or until I sort of get to the point where I say, okay, I think you can manage this at home now.
And I can imagine that there's so many factors to that scar allowing you to work deeper, you know, in terms of the woman that you're working on. Are they tense and tight? Are they actually ready to go deeper in terms of this healing, but also like physically, in terms of that scar? Because the analogy I sort of think about, and you've helped me to sort of think about it this way. But typically we'll sort of say, oh, I'm stressed. I need just massage my shoulders. I just feel so tight and tense. And typically we would think about that from a male physical, a male female perspective. But then when we think about that in terms of trauma, you know, feeling sort of, you know, you explained it in terms of we're told to sort of suck in our bellies. There is a lot of tightness and restriction in that area. And it's not till we sort of breathe and relax into it that we think, oh my gosh, how long have I been holding myself like this?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so many of us have been holding that for years and years, our whole life, especially the tummy sucking, which I do coach to let it go. Let the tummy go, because it blocks your lymphatic system, stuffs up your digestive system, and it creates, wreaks havoc through your abdominal wall.
And you see that in endo as well.
I see that a lot with endo and the fear response from endo. But then that it's that pattern that then can contribute to neck and shoulder pain, jaw pain, hip pain, back pain, and so much more. I will just quickly, while I think of it, Chloe, sorry to interrupt, but I also just want to do mention silicone healing for scars. So the silicone, like silicone-based products, so silicone strips and silicone gel like a StrataDerm, and also you can use like a kinesio tape or rock tape. But that is, to me, the easiest way to care for your scar in the early stages. So you can pop the silicone on as soon as the scar has healed, which can be sort of around four weeks, otherwise from 6 weeks. It's a set and forget. It's the easiest way to look after your scar without having to put too much effort in. And the silicone is also great for bringing the C-section, or keeping the C-section, what I say, on the grid. So keeping it as part of the nervous system network, as opposed to creating the avoidance pattern. So using silicone or using rock tape in that early stage can be so beneficial and so easy and so supportive to the C-section scar.
And other than that, you mentioned as well, like just doing that sort of touch or massaging just with your hands.
Yep.
Do you recommend any particular time for that?
I recommend a couple of things. So if you've got the motivation to do it a little bit every day, that's wonderful. Work with that. If you're feeling like you don't have great motivation and you want to be doing this work, I say you've got to work it in with a habit stack. So love me a habit stack too. So on the days that you wash your hair are the days that you work your scar. So I sell a scar release kit, which includes a silicone cup and a gua sha blade. So I say leave your cup in the shower whilst you're washing your hair or shaving your legs, whichever, you know, that's also a significant shower moment. They are the days that you use your cup or you massage your scar in the shower.
I love that. That's such a smart idea.
And it makes it so much easier and maintainable and achievable for the mum, especially if you've got multiple kids. You can do it whilst your kids are in the shower with you even as well. My kids love my cups. And I do this as well. As I mentioned, I don't have a C-section scar, but I still have that tummy sucking pattern. I've got loads of adhesion. Well, I've had loads of adhesions at various times in my abdomen. And I also have used this work to recover from my own two births and heal my diastasis. So it's not just for C-section mamas, it's for all mums. Mm-hmm. But I say, yeah, use your cup and do the work on the days that you have your shower, come out, pop a bit of oil on, do it in front of the mirror. It's great to look visually at it to create that association to actually visually see where your scar sits on your body, and looking at while you work it. There are loads of techniques that you can use. I've got plenty of like little how-to videos on my Instagram even as well if you want to look there. But you can as simple as just do rubbing your favorite body oil or body moisturizer into it is the easiest version. If you want to go really specific, there's lots of different techniques you can do, like circles, zigzags, pulls, full abdominal pulls, drags. You can work superficial, work a little bit deeper, and then work full deep, which the full deep works best in a lying as opposed to standing position. But you can get a little bit of deep work through there.
So I completed your live C-section course when you were offering that, and I think I was maybe 3-4 months postpartum, and just the difference of when I started, like you were mentioning before, I was just sort of afraid to touch it, being like, what if I open it up? Or, you know, I actually thought that that was possible, not knowing how deep that recovery actually is. I was like, oh, I've got to be careful. I don't want to, you know, by the end of doing your course, I was moving it up. Like I was so much more confident with touching my scar, and I noticed such a big difference visually, but also again just confidence wise. And I think it must have still been swimming weather, but I remember being at an ocean bath and seeing my scar come out of my swimmers and actually feeling really proud about it and being like, this is how I had my baby. And it was like, you know, a complete sort of 360 to how I felt about it immediately post-birth, to then being confident in my physical body, but also in my recovery and processing of that too. And I couldn't believe how immediate it happened, you know, in terms of being like, I'm massaging this. But then when you think about it, you know, you can go get a massage again for your shoulders and neck, and be like, I had the best sleep ever and wake up feeling okay. That touch therapy has such an immediate effect for some people.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of you for sticking to it and also for experiencing the beautiful results that come with it.
I was addicted, and it's like you said, you can fall in and out of patterns of doing it. But when I do it, I'm like, I feel, yeah, I really sort of give it a good go. And your work, you were saying, like, you actually can start up underneath the ribs as well. And so, you know, it's not just dealing with that sort of area, it's the whole abdomen. For somebody, I think I remember when I shared some of your work online, someone reached out to me and said, is it too late? I'm 5 years after a cesarean. Is it too late for me to do this sort of work? What would you say for that?
It's never too late to start. I actually believe on the scars that have issues like pain or sensitivity or anything like that, I think I get the best results with older scars because there's more to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So the first client I had back after my maternity leave from Eden, she'd reached out while I was on mat leave, and she just was the first appointment, boom, straight in. Her scar is 25 years old and she's a nurse. And she said, every single time I lean up against the bed to help a patient, turn a patient, whatever, I feel my scar and I'm reminded of it. And for starters, I hate it. It reminds me instantly of the birth. And it's uncomfortable and it's creating this negative loop in my body. And within one treatment, the sensitivity had gone. And then within a couple of treatments, we'd started to change the appearance of that. So that's a 25-year-old scar and still amazing results.
I bet she was so incredibly happy with the results of that.
She actually often forgets. She still comes to see me, but she does forget that that was the reason why she started seeing me.
Yeah.
And I think that's so beautiful because it's, to me, that means that that part of her body has become or has been welcomed into her nervous system.
Are there any other memorable client stories that you can bring up? I know that you've got some visuals that we'll definitely share, but I'd love to hear more from you about that.
For sure. I've got an incredible bank of memorable stories, from trauma release to appearance changes to sensitivity changes. But I do have my probably one of my most memorable. She was early on in the career of my scar career. And
that
we
sounds
were
a bit gangster.
I know, it does sound a bit gangster, doesn't it?
Sounds super gangster.
Yeah, she came to see me after her second kid. So she'd had two births, two C-sections, very close together. I think her kids were maybe 15, 16 months apart. And she arrived just feeling so defeated. And I think she just told me that, like, I don't know if I'll ever feel like myself again after having kids. And I knew her prior to having kids. She was an athlete. She had a pretty ripped, defined abdomen. And then when I assessed her, when I looked at her, I could see the disconnect in her body, like we've spoken about today. That lower part of her body didn't exist. She was completely disassociated from it. She couldn't look at it. She couldn't touch it. And it was just like that lower part of her body did not exist. But what I loved about this was, after one treatment, things started to change. I will say she did have the shelf. She actually had quite an interesting one. It was a bit like a top and bottom. So the scar was very indented, creating the upper and lower sort of pooching over the scar. But after just one treatment, things started to change instantly. So there was the physical change, so we could see the difference. And I remember her saying that even her husband noticed the change. And to have to receive a comment from your husband after just having just a scar massage, even though it's not just a scar massage, but just a massage on her scar, that's huge.
That's
and
amazing.
That can change your relationship. It can change your intimacy with your husband. It can change the way that you feel about yourself in an instant. And I think maybe he'd even asked her if she'd lost weight, which that's pretty huge in the postpartum world as well.
Yeah. And just from one treatment, and that not only is that motivating to continue it, it's just I can see a shift.
Absolutely. It's so motivating, because then you start to feel like you're getting part of yourself back. So by the time, fast forward to her third session, which, we could see so many physical changes. So I suppose I like to describe this as what you can see and what you can feel. So you could see that the scar tissue had begun melting away and that it had started to soften. You could also start to see that her abdominal muscles were starting to reappear. So you could see visually that they were back on the grid. They were back working. And then you could also see that her skin was really nice and plump and soft and smooth and had color to it. And then of course there was sort of what she felt. So to me, that what she feels is the biggest impact of all, and what really creates the most impactful release of a scar. But she felt more engaged and connected in her body. So when she went to do Pilates, her abs were finally burning. And she's like, and they burnt. She's like, I walked out of there feeling like I had a six pack, because I could actually feel them for the first time after having my children, which is huge when you're a sporty gal.
And coming back to that person that you once knew in a physical body and emotionally as well.
And the part of you that you've been feeling so lost from, which, as we know, in motherhood, there's countless times when you feel that, I don't know who I am anymore, or I want to feel like my old self again. So to feel that again can be so liberating and life-changing for women. And then we also saw her breath deepen. So when we see that breath deepen, the breath could reach the scar, which then, of course, it helps to heal the scar physically and emotionally, but it also supports the nervous system, supports the lymphatic system, and supports the digestive system. So all the systems start to work more wholly and together in the system, which is always really cool. And then, of course, she began to feel hopeful and strong, and I think even excited to go to the gym and excited to look after herself and excited to eat better, move more, and just be generally more motivated to do things, even more motivated in motherhood that can reflect. So then, of course, the Pilates started to click. She began to shift weight, and the mirror wasn't so hard to look at anymore, so she could look at herself there, feel more comfortable. Her whole demeanor changed. She's like, I'm a happier person. My husband sees it. Our relationship is better. And, of course, for the first time in a long time, she just felt like she was getting her body back. And I do think I do have the physical changes of this over just those three sessions. She has seen me beyond that. And unfortunately, she's in Sydney. I'm in Brisbane now, so I can't see her at the moment. But I do know that it has evolved since then. And I do believe she's had a third child. But, I think the transformation of what you can see and how you feel are so impactful. And as I said, this work goes beyond just a pretty little pattern over the scar. It's full body, emotional and physical recovery.
I'm 110% sold. Like, having done the work myself, I'm just such a big believer in this. And I really hope that for any listeners who have previously had a cesarean, look into the work that you're offering, whether that's the free information that you provide online, but also I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about the new workshop or course that you've got in the works, but then also for practitioners, what's available for them too.
Yeah, absolutely. So for my prackies, I do run courses, the C-section release method. This year I've run it in Tasmania, New Zealand, Sydney, Melbourne, yeah, and coming
it's your
up
year.
Will be Brisbane.
It's been your year.
It's been a big year. That is my ride or die. I absolutely love teaching this work to practitioners, and my motto, my why, is the more practitioners I can teach this work to, the more women can receive this work, and the more women can feel the benefits of this work, and that really drives me.
Just until we can work out a way to replicate you in all different states across Australia.
Yeah, that's it. And then I am next week filming and getting live my C-section release course for mums, which is a body of work. It delves into, of course, the physical release work, but also it delves into meditations, visualizations, hypnosis, for recovering from your C-section. And I love that side of it. So those will all be about helping you to reconnect in with your body post-birth, but also helping you in the motherhood journey, centering and grounding your nervous system. And then lastly, I will also just mention that I do sell a scar release kit, which comes with a beautiful silicone cup and a gua sha blade, or you can buy them separately, to optimize your healing. And that's the equipment that I use face-to-face with my patients and get phenomenal results with. So there is that as well. I'm also always down for a DM chat.
Yeah, you're so responsive. I'm
probably addicted, but very responsive.
Passionate. Let's say passionate.
Passionate is a nicer way of putting it. But to point you in the right direction of where to begin. And I do have a list of practitioners that I've trained on my website. So if you go, I want to see a practitioner that has liked this work, up on my website is a full list. I've got, as I said, prackies from every single state, I think, besides the Northern Territory now. And I've even got my New Zealand prackies as well on there.
It's so needed. I think there's so many people out there who don't even know that they need it, but they know that they're not happy with, say, their scar healing or that area of their body. We'll definitely be sharing when that is available for people. I know anybody in the Brisbane area, I send them straight to you.
Yes, and I have seen some of your patients. Yeah. Thank you, Chloe.
Oh, they're very happy with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's busy work. It is busy work.
Yeah. So maybe what we can do to wrap up this episode today is I'd love for you to take us through a guided visualization or just a little insight into what you do offer your in-person clients and even what this course will be entailing.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's go to it, Chloe.
Okay, I'm going to just relax my jaw, by the way, because even in the cold, before when you said relax your jaw, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tense.
Yeah, and you're talking, so, you know, there's some energy going there. Okay, so if you are listening, what I'll get you to do is stop what you're doing, find a nice quiet part of your room, the house, on your walk even, wherever you're listening to your podcast. And I want you to close down your eyes. You can close your eyes down too, Chloe. Closing down your eyes. And I just want you to start to take a couple of nice big deep breaths. And I just want you to create an internal representation of how that breath feels. So you can just notice if the breath is feeling calm or racy. Notice where the breath arrives to. Does it arrive to your chest? Does it arrive to your rib cage? Does it arrive to your upper, mid, lower belly? Does it arrive to your scar? Or does it not? So I won't go into the breath work today, but if you've noticed that the breath doesn't arrive somewhere through that system, you can give that a little bit of a wake up. You can touch it and force the breath there, or you can give it a little bit of a massage and a rub. And then what I want you to do is I just want you to place your hands gently over your C-section scar or over your womb space if you don't have a scar but you'd like to join in today. And I just want you to feel the tissue underneath your fingers. You can feel if the tissue is warm or cold. You can notice if the tissues that you're touching have been neglected, perhaps, or whether they're feeling quite connected. And then I just want you to visually see what's going on in your scar. So this may need a stretch of your imagination. But just see if you can look at your scar from the inside or from the outside and notice what's going on there. Notice if the tissue is feeling free-flowing or if it's feeling a bit more rigid. You can have a little bit of a feel around in your scar. You can work a little bit deeper if you need to. Notice if the tissue is moving or if it's not moving. Notice if the tissue is feeling soft or hard. Notice if the tissue is maybe feeling depleted, disconnected, or disassociated. Or also observe if it's feeling connected, associated, and on your grid. And then what I want you to do is just start moving the tissue around your scar. So you can just move it up and down, moving from left to right. This is very, very top tissue surface level. And you can also observe if it's feeling okay to touch your scar or if it's giving you the ick, you're having an emotional, physiological response to touching it. Just sit with that. Observe it. Don't push it to the side. Feel those feelings. The best way to let go of emotions is to feel them. And now you can, over your scar, just do some very gentle circles. Again, moving from left to right and right from left, right to left. And just observing again what's going on in there. Is it rigid? Is it moving? Is it feeling stuck? Sticky, thick, hard, free-flowing. And now I want you to move from side to side. So you'll just push a little bit towards one side and then pull it back. Push and pull, push and pull. And again, just creating an observation of what's happening there in the tissue. Notice areas that may need some work, a bit of further release work. And then I just want you to place now like one finger above and the other below. And then you can just move them back and forwards. So one above, one below. Moving backwards and forwards, and then still just shuffling along from left to right and right to left. And just noticing what's happening in the tissues as you do that. Okay, and then just placing your full hand over your scar again. And I want you to come back to your breath. So I want you to send your breath down to your scar. Big inhales, big exhales. And then just noticing after a very, very quick touching of the scar, some very, very gentle superficial top tissue release. Notice if the scar has changed from that. Notice if it's much easier to connect in with that part of your body. Notice if some very, very slight tissue has started to warm up, to arrive back on your mat, to arrive back in your nervous system. Notice if your scar is feeling a bit warmer, a little safer, perhaps. And then just to finish us off, I just want you to send your scar some deep gratitude, some deep love, a big hug. You can thank it if you need to thank it. And anything else that feels right to give your scar today. And once you've done that, you can come back to your breath and arrive back into wherever you are. You can get back to your walk, your potty walk, or your walking pad like Georgia does.
Her runway.
Her runway, her walk runway. So that was a little, very quick, guided, intuitive touch meditation.
I love how you told me to close my eyes. I just am so, I bring it up all the time in this podcast work that I do have an issue with being vulnerable. But like when I am in it and I am visualizing it, even just then, like when you were mentioning give thanks to your scar and have that gratitude, it's like that makes me feel emotional. And I don't necessarily know what emotion it is, but it does make me feel something. And even yep. That's 13 months on from having my baby.
Yep. And I invite you to sit with that, Chloe, and feel the emotion. Take your time and just ask it to come up and allow it out.
How often, like, you know, do we get that time to just sort of sit and be and think about what's happened? So I appreciate you going through that with us.
No worries. And as mothers, we do not get time to sit and think about what's going on in our internal world very often.
No.
But if you can incorporate that practice, I say every day for the rest of our lives, before you go to sleep, you take 10 nice deep breaths.
Yeah.
Conscious breaths.
Yeah. Thank you so much for today, Maddie. I really appreciate the work that you do. And I think that this is going to be such a valued episode, and I'll be sharing it with all my C-section mums.
Thank you so much, Chloe. And thanks for having me here, and love your work, love your podcasts. And I miss you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
If you liked it, leave us a review and follow us on socials. We'd love to hear from you.